Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's the only reason I know anything spiritually, because the Bible tells me so. And it's the only reason anybody knows anything spiritually, and this has nothing to do with the message, this is free. The point that I'm making is this is the reason if you go, for example, to 1 John, and he says, you have no need for anyone to teach you. He's not talking about pastors and teachers or Sunday school teachers. What he's indicating is you do not need any more information than what you have right here. Now, you may need some help understanding what you're reading here, but you don't need any fresh information. You don't need a Quran. You don't need some extra biblical source of revelation. There is no extra biblical source of revelation. It's right here. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I am saved, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Not because somebody thinks so, or I feel that way today, or it has nothing to do with how I feel, or what someone else has to say. God says so, and that's how I know anything. Well, we're going to find out something about Thanksgiving today, and all the Sundays of this month, since, as we have taken note, this is the month that most people's thoughts turn to the issue of giving thanks. And our verse is the verse of our message this morning, Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. I hope you'll memorize that. As I said earlier, the wording in the King James is a little different, but the words are the same. And we're going to look at these. This will not be a lengthy message. And as you see by your bulletin, there are 4 points to the message. I don't have sub-points per se. I will make some other comments. But our theme is to be grateful to God. That's what Thanksgiving is. It is gratitude. And we have as the title for the message, always, because it is the emphasis on being thankful all the time. Always give thanks to God. And so as we read the opening phrase of Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks. Now, the word order in the original language oftentimes has some importance to it. And by that I mean that normally the ancients put the first word of the most important word of the sentence first. And when we do that, it makes our sentences sound awkward sometimes. But they did this, as some of you are well aware, if you were looking at a Greek text, I don't mean a modern Greek New Testament, but a Greek manuscript, all the words would be run together, all the letters would be the same size, there's no variation of capital and minor case or lower case letters, and there are no punctuation marks. So be glad that you have the translation you do. I am, because it makes it a lot easier to read. But the first word in the Greek of Ephesians 5:20 is thanks. Thanks. And this is an interesting word. Is there anyone besides me here who's old enough to remember the exclamation, good gracious? Have you ever heard that before? Good gracious. That's our word. That's the word that is translated thanks here. Always giving thanks. Or I suppose, since it's a verb form, that one word is our two words, giving thanks. And the word itself, even in the original, is interesting because it is composed of a little prefix that means good. And then the word thanks is a derivative of our word for grace. And that's why I said our word is good gracious. Good grace. What is grace? Let's remind ourselves. We have it as the part of the name of our church. We have it in the verse behind me here, back of the pulpit. What really is grace? Well, grace is, and many of you could rattle this off, it's the compact definition of grace. It's unmerited favor. It's undeserved goodness from God. Some have suggested, and we've mentioned this before in other messages, that mercy is God not giving us what we deserve, and therefore He's merciful. But grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. He gives us that which we haven't done anything to merit at all. And there, theologians talk about different aspects of grace. They talk about common grace, and they often use a portion of Matthew chapter 5 in that regard, where Jesus talks about God sending the rain and the sunshine on both the just and the unjust. That's an example of common grace. He's gracious to both the righteous and the unrighteous. But there is that grace that if you're a born-again Christian, you've encountered in a special way. It's that saving grace. God saves us in spite of ourselves and apart from any merit of our own. And the verse behind me from, again, this book of Ephesians, but chapter 2, emphasizes that very thing. And the verse that follows the one behind me says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." So, what does all that have to do with thankfulness? Well, it is a reminder that God is gracious to us, and His grace is always good. It's good toward us. And so He tells us always giving thanks. Now, I want to bear down for a second on this word always. Sometimes the words that don't appear to be very important are vital. They're crucial to our understanding of what God is conveying to us here. Thanksgiving is not something that happens on the fourth Thursday of the month of November. It happens in this country. By the way, most of the countries of the world don't recognize this. It was instituted over 100 years ago, I guess. And the point is that as a nation, we have set this day aside. And yet, I hardly think that anyone is thankful in the sense that was intended when this day of Thanksgiving, National Day of Thanksgiving, was set aside. We're all, well, I shouldn't say all, I trust you're not, but so many are anticipating, what do they call it, Black Friday? You know, when the merchants all, you know, make their big push to get you to buy for Christmas. I noticed that in the store, we hadn't even gotten past Halloween before the Christmas materials were being set out, and they're out in the stores now. And of course, there's some materials that the merchants push that are related to Thanksgiving or at least the autumn season. But by and large, very few people are thankful. And I'm talking about here in the United States and with a National Day of Thanksgiving. And most people, their main emphasis on Thanksgiving is family gathering. And there's nothing wrong with having a family gathering on this day. But are we thankful as we should be? We live in a country, and this is the reason the day was established. We live in a country where we have so much for which to be thankful. And I know that this Tuesday we're going to elect a new president, and I don't know whether you're going to be happy or not happy with the results of it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I intend to be thankful this Tuesday and the Wednesday that follows, and etc. One of the reasons I ought to be thankful is because I live in a country where I've got the privilege of casting a vote for the best candidate, or those that I would consider to be the best. And yes, if you're sitting there thinking you've got to choose the least objectionable, and in many elections that's our choice, who's the least objectionable, well, this election may be one of those too. I don't know, but my point is that you live in a country where you have that privilege, and there are a lot of places in the world where you don't have that privilege. And a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ never get to elect anybody. So we have these high privileges, and that's, in my opinion, that's just one of the lesser privileges for which we ought to be thankful. We discussed earlier in the Sunday school hour how agriculture, even today, is still the foundation of the prosperity of a nation. And consider the agricultural prosperity of the country in which you live. When was the last time anyone in this room went hungry, not by choice? You may not eat breakfast, some people don't, or you may be on a diet or something like this. You may have some kind of a fasting program, but when was the last time that you went hungry because there wasn't anything to eat? Here we live in such a country. And yes, I know we take up collections to feed the hungry, and there are hungry people in the country, but it's not because this country doesn't have enough food. Something else is wrong. But my point is that we live in a nation that is extremely prosperous. No wonder we should give thanks. But what if you lived in a country where you were hungry? What if you lived in a country where you were prosperous? Should you always give thanks? God says so. Always give thanks. I'm anticipating something a little further in the message, but let me bring it out here. Are you saved and on your way to heaven? And do you know it? Then you should give thanks. No matter how bad everything else is, you should give thanks, because you have everlasting life and you are going to spend eternity in joy and bliss. You know, there was a man in the Bible, his name was Lazarus, and he was a man who was poverty stricken. He was sick, he was filled with sores, he was laid at the gate of the rich man and longed to just be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. But these two men died, and Lazarus, when he died, was carried by the angels into what elsewhere would be called paradise, or into the presence of God. And he rested and was comforted, and that was just the beginning of the blessing in Lazarus's life. If you're a born-again Christian here this morning, you're going to meet Lazarus one day. He's waiting for us, along with many others as well. But the point here is, if I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, and I know it, why should I be unthankful? Why should I complain? I often remind myself, I'm not throwing this out as something for you to emulate. Maybe you feel you could, I don't know. But I often remind myself that the worst thing that happens to me is better than I deserve. Because I know myself very well. And I know what I am apart from Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what I am apart from Christ. I'm a hell-deserving sinner. But in Christ, I have everything. I have everything. And if I have nothing here on earth, and I have much more than I need, but if I had nothing here on earth, I'm in Christ, and He in me, and nothing will ever separate me from the love of God. So, that being the case, always be thankful. Always give thanks. And we've already touched on this, but be thankful for everything. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For all things. Are there things that are not pleasant in our lives? Well, if we went around the room, everybody here could stand up and testify to something that's happened, maybe recently, maybe right today, that's going on in your life that's not very pleasant. But can we give thanks for all things? Yes, we can and we should. Because everything comes our way. Nothing comes your way without God's permission. And last month in another series of messages, we took a moment to take a glance at our brother Job. Job chapters 1 and 2. And I know you're probably tired of hearing it, but as we said then, Satan could not even stick a pin in Job without God's permission. Now, God gave him permission to do an awful lot of things to Job. I hope he never gives that permission to him about me. But he gave it to him about Job. And what an example to us Job remains. But nothing could happen to Job from the one who hates our souls. Nothing could happen to him unless the one who loved our souls gave him permission. And he did it for a reason. And beloved, you know, when you're going through suffering and trials, you may not know the reason. Job didn't. You know, all these things in those first two chapters went on in heaven, and Job didn't know what was going on. You and I get a glimpse behind the veil, and maybe Job did later. But at the time, why did all his family disappear and all his wealth and all those kind of things? And then his health deteriorated. You know, it makes me wonder at times, you hear about the health and wealth preachers today. Have they never read the book of Job? Apparently not. Apparently not, because beginning and end of the book, God declares Job was a righteous man, one who feared God and eschewed evil, and all these things happened to him. He lost his wealth and he lost his health. And God still loved him. God still loved him. So, here we go. Can we give thanks for everything? Because it's much easier to give thanks when everything's going well. I know that, and you know it too. Everything's happy. You've got lots of money. You're content with all the things you have. It's easy to give God thanks then. But when things get rough, it's not so easy. Now, one of the things that I want to draw your attention to here, and here's another example of how the little words make a difference. Always giving thanks for, F-O-R, all things. This is not the normal word translated for. This is a word, a preposition that means over. And, I mean, that's at least its basic thought. Now, every translation I've read translates it for, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it helps me, maybe it'll help you, to understand that you give thanks over everything. Many of us give thanks for our food every day. When we sit down for a meal, even when we go out in public, we take a moment to give God thanks for what we're about to eat. And yes, we're hungry, but we're not starving, okay? So we think we're starving, but we don't really know what starving is. Anyway, we give thanks for our food. And we have that example. Our Lord Jesus did that. And again, and we looked at this recently, our Lord's temptations in the wilderness. He had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil tempts him to turn stones into bread, and his response is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And yet, throughout his public ministry, he would give thanks. The example that comes to mind immediately to me is the feeding of the 5,000. And again, you've probably heard this from me before. This is one of the few things in Jesus' ministry that's recorded in all four of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record the feeding of the 5,000. And I believe it's in John's Gospel that when Jesus makes the statement or asks the question about giving the multitude something to eat, John records that he already knew what he was going to do. He posed the question to his disciples to get their response, but he already knew what he was going to do. Now, and I can't pass this by without making a comment. You hear a lot today about how we need to feed and clothe and heal medically people, and then we'll get a hearing for the gospel. Jesus didn't know that. He did it the opposite way. He did it all wrong, apparently, because he gave them the ministry of the word first, and then he thought about feeding them. All right. So, yes, he did feed the multitude, and they needed some sustenance, but he gave them the word of God first. He didn't do it the other way around, like we're told today it needs to be done. In any event, he knew what he was going to do, and you know what he did. He discovered that there was a little boy with some loaves and a couple of fish, a few small fish. And what did he do? He took the loaves and he gave thanks and he broke them. And the implication is he did the same thing with the fish. He took the fish second and began to break. Now, these, you understand, these are dried fish. Okay, so he broke them up and he gave thanks. And then they distributed them, and then the miracle took place, and it was a miracle. I don't care how you slice seven loaves and a few fish, you cannot feed 5,000 people with that. I don't even mean a crumb on those. No, that you don't, there's not enough crumbs for every person to get a crumb. But he fed them all. And you also know something else that happened. So that nothing would be lost, they picked up the crumbs and they had baskets full of crumbs from seven loaves of bread. Now, what's my point here? Well, we could enjoy the parable, but what I want us to see is before anything happened, he gave thanks. He gave thanks. Do you often wonder why our prayers don't seem to even get as high as the ceiling? And this is a fairly low ceiling for a church. Why don't our prayers? Maybe it's because we don't give thanks. And I've said this before in talking about prayer, but you know, if your child would ask you for something and you gave it to them, and ask you for something else and you gave it to them, and they never said thanks, would you get a little tired of not being thanked for that which was given graciously? Well, I sometimes suspect our Heavenly Father does too. He gives and he gives, and as one of the songs says, he giveth again, and we're not grateful. We don't thank him for it. We take it like it's our due. And we need to remember that God doesn't owe us anything. He just gives us out of his loving heart. So, should we give thanks over all things? Yes. Giving thanks for all things? Well, yes, we should give thanks for the good and the bad. Brother Job gave us that example. He said, shall we receive good from the Lord and not the bad things? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He worshipped. He worshipped. And that's what thanksgiving is. It's a form of worship. Number three, be thankful to your father. Be thankful to your father. Why are we thankful to the Heavenly Father? Let the Apostle James tell us. James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Favorite verses of mine. I hope you memorize them yourself. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Your King James says, and I just like the wording, no shadow of turning. And our hymn writer reminds us of that. Excuse me. There is no shadow of turning with thee. There's no shadow of turning. But the next verse, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of God, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. He's talking there about the new creation. I don't know about you, but I'm a pretty old fruit in the original creation. I'm an awful long way in the descent from Adam. But I'm among the first fruits of the new creation that's in Christ Jesus. But a glorious thing about that 18th verse, in the exercise of his, the Father's will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. That phrase, brought us forth, is born again. And we don't have a verb type form that fits that verse, but if I can just make an odd sounding one, he borned us again by the word of truth. But it's that term that you find in John chapter 3. He borned us again by the word. Who did this? The Father did it, and so did the Son, and so did the Holy Spirit. But the point is, that verse emphasizes that the fact that you're born again is according to the will of the Father, and he actively was involved in your new birth. What a glorious truth. Give thanks. Be thankful to your Heavenly Father. Every good thing that comes and every perfected gift is from above, from the Father of lights. And now finally, be thankful through our Lord Jesus, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we fully comprehend the fact that we have no access to God except through Jesus Christ? That's the great truth of John 14, verse 6. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And apart from Jesus Christ, I have no call upon God whatsoever. It's only in his name that I can come before a loving Heavenly Father and present my petitions. In the name. And books have been written about this, so a few sentences from me are not going to cover all the bases. But in the name means by his will, because when you do something in the name of someone else, you are doing what you believe to be what he would do or she would do if she were there to make the decision. I've used the example a number of times when our son Ben was single, and he would have to go overseas with the military. He would execute a power of attorney, and I would have his power of attorney. Now, I never used it because it wasn't necessary, but if he had some financial or legal issue that arose while he was gone, or if something had happened to him, I had the power of attorney. I could make decisions for him in his name. And the reason he gave it to his dad was that he thought that his dad, and I trust he did well, but he thought that his dad would make whatever decisions for him that he, Ben, would make if he were here to make them. And that's part, not all, but part of what is meant by in the name of Jesus. We do things that we understand from the Word of God to be his will to be done. And another aspect of this is authority. I know this is kind of old school, but you may have heard or seen in a film or something where a policeman, usually a uniformed policeman, stands up and says, "Halt in the name of the law." Why? Because the policeman represents the law, the civil law. And so he says, "Halt in the name of the law." I think George Eager, in some of his writings, I don't know if it's in the Mailbox Club Lessons or if it's in one of his books, but George used the example of a traffic policeman. And, you know, the old traffic, I don't know if you see any guys like this anymore, but in the old days, he'd have a whistle, and he would stand up, and he'd direct traffic, and he'd halt. I'm going to use this side. He'd halt traffic coming this way and motion traffic coming this direction on through. Now, here comes a big truck, a tractor trailer, or a delivery truck or something, and he tells them to halt while he brings the other traffic through. What makes that truck stop? Well, it's not the power of the policeman. The truck could run him down without any difficulty whatsoever. It's the authority that he represents. And you have authority as well. And if you'll come back tonight, I'll tell you some more about that, unless you have a question, and then we'll do something else. But the point is to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, to pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, is by our Lord's authority. And finally, one last thought in this matter, being thankful through our Lord Jesus. This is for His glory. When we give thanks, it glorifies our Lord Jesus, because He's the only reason we have any access in prayer. He's the only reason that we can present petitions. The only reason. I've always loved the story of Esther. And many of you know the story of Esther. She was a Jewish girl who became the favorite wife of the Persian emperor. And they had a rule in the Persian court. You could not approach the throne unless the emperor called you. If you did try to get access to the emperor and you had not been summoned by him, the penalty was death. And this was a safeguard for the person of the emperor to keep assassins away. But it didn't matter who you were. If he didn't summon you, you could die. The only exception to that is when you came into his presence, if he held out the scepter to you, then you were welcome. No one would prohibit you. You could come and talk to the emperor. And of course, Esther, in this crisis, takes her life in her hand. Now, she's the queen. She's the favorite of the many women in the harem, but she's the favorite, and yet even that does not shield her from this law of the Persians, and she takes her life in her hands to go into the king's presence or the emperor's presence, but he holds out the scepter and all is well. And my point here is just simply this. Because of Jesus Christ, the Father's scepter is always held out to you. Always. You can come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Good gracious. Isn't that wonderful? We should always give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we do so, it is as much worship as anything else that we have done here today. And you can do it every day, and you ought to do it every day. And probably, if you're like me, you need to do it a lot of times in the day. But what a glorious privilege we have. Be grateful to God. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful to you for this high and holy privilege that we have in Jesus Christ. And what a glorious way to worship you anytime, anywhere, by simply giving thanks. And so, our Father, teach us to be more thankful than we have been in the past, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Yes, ma'am. We are ready for music, and a surprise to you. I said that we would have Thanksgiving messages all this week, or all this month, and the closing hymn is going to be the same all month long. Thank you, Lord. 221.